Welcome to another episode of The Revolution is Black Love Podcast. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining us. I have been on a hiatus. You're joining Sister Tomiko. I've been on hiatus. Some of you may know my mama was sick and be buried her. She transitioned a few weeks ago. But I am back and to speak to our diaspora family. Today we have a very special show. We're going to be interviewing the legendary living legend. We're in D.C., y'all, DMV, Dr. Baruch of E-Life Restaurant, founder, owner. 30 years he's been feeding the diaspora community in the DMV, plant-based food, healing their mind, body, and spirit. So we're very excited. Y'all, as I mentioned, I just came back from my hiatus. My mama has transitioned, so I may get a little emotion. I'm still in my feelings. But y'all, please extend me grace and compassion and unconditional love. And between my producer, Dr. Ruth, they're going to hold me today as we do this show. I'm very excited. So, folks, we just going to do just a few news items, just to keep up what's going on with the diaspora. Just want to mention one of the things that recently occurred. We have four Caribbean countries that are on track for free movement. This means in Barbados, Belize, and Dominica, and St. Vincent and the Grenadines, that folks, nationals, they can leave and enter these Caribbean islands, reside in them, live in them, work without residency, needing work residency or permit residency. That's very huge. That's something that African countries have been trying to do for decades. Free movement among the African nations, because we know the colonization that has occurred has kept us separating these boundaries, and this is something Kwame Nkrumah was wanting to do decades ago. So that's very important. So please keep up with that. Also, another news item happened recently in Mississippi. A young black male student was found hanging from a tree. This is at Delta State University of Mississippi. They are still investigating that. We know there's a long line of lynching in this country, United States of America, North America. I want to reference you a book called Without Sanctuary, Lynching Photography in America. We do know this shared story. We will continue to remember it, but please keep up with that. He was 21 years old. I want to give condolences to that family. Also, another news item in Grand Rapids, Michigan, African American Museum, they just opened a new site, an archive, which is very important. We know that right now, there's a campaign of erasure of African story, African descent narrative in the U.S., and our museums are very important, so we want to continue to support them and make sure we give our money to them, and we are 10 toes down. No one is erasing us or our stories, period. My final news item, this is in Washington, D.C., UDC, where they have Black Neuro Week. A group of young neuroscience students has started this about 5 years ago during Black Lives Matter. And with the current administration, want to defund DEI, et cetera, they defund them. The money for them to have a conference. They held a conference anyway for 3 days. And they started with just a few group of students of African descent, like NeuroWeek, and they ended up to 1,200. And they continue to have that conference. And neuroscience is very important, y'all, for the Black community. They study cognitive behavior and all these things, how the brain works. And we know with people of African descent and how our stay has been in America, it has been a lot. It has impacted us on every level. So shout out to them. Proud of y'all. We want to support them. Very good. So that's just a few news items. We're going to take just a quick musical break. And we're going to bring back our legendary guest, Dr. Baruch, who has been impacting lives for generations in D.C., a.k.a. Banneker City, a.k.a. Chocolate City. Y'all know how we do. Quick musical break, and we're going to bring them on. And we're going to burn the walls down, y'all.
Institution causing
peace and blessings, family. Our diaspora family, welcome back again. Welcome back to today's show, The Revolution is Black Love, September 24th, Wednesday. And we have on with esteemed living legend guest, Dr. Baruch. Dr. Baruch, are you with us?
I am with you. Thank you very much for having me on today.
Okay, I love it. Y'all, we got a line in the house. Okay, you hear that? We got a line in the house, and he's going to be dropping us knowledge. Has been feeding us, the Black community, diaspora community, for decades. And today we're going to engage with him, of course, with his journey of going into plant-based narrative spaces, feeding us. But also, when you have lived that long in that type of industry and dealing with people of African descent, you have certain lived experience and interactions that you now become a teacher, a master teacher. So we're going to engage with Dr. Baruch on various levels today. He is going to be teaching us. He's going to be a political commentator for us. And we're going to go right in. Dr. Baruch, thank you so much. We are so honored to have you on our show today.
Thank you very much for having me.
I wanted to go on a little bit. You have what's called, we would call a legacy business, where you have 20 years or more, where you have been, particularly your purpose has been based on that of preserving people of African descent. Preserving us, as you say, mind, body, and spirit. I just wanted to go into a little bit of that, but also we want to talk later about just customer responses to you, how we are in our economic, political landscape, and just we just going to go in and just bring it up to where we are today and what's your thoughts and recommendations. And of course, y'all, he is Eli Restaurant, based out of Capitol. Is that Capitol Heights, Dr. Baruch, we are located now?
Capitol Heights.
So, Dr. Baruch, let's go ahead and get started. Again, we just so honored to have you. Just when we talk about a legacy business, just what are some of the ingredients that makes that? And then also on the other side, what does the community bring to that to make it a legacy business? Dr. Baruch.
Great. Well, thank you again. The concept of a legacy business is, I think, a business that transcends generations. And I'm very thankful to have been able to feed people now who were once children, who became parents and now are grandparents in that short period of time. And it's a great blessing to be able to support our community and stand before audiences of people explaining to them that we are the only restaurant that we know of that is committed to providing a viable food source or infusing soul into healthy food to particularly target and provide nourishment for the African American or Black community. We're the only restaurant that I know of that says that we want you to look better, feel better, live longer, have a better quality of life, have more energy, and love better. And when we set out our mission and our purpose at the beginning some 30 years ago, we've not deviated at all. We are focused and we are intentional in our efforts to assist our community in getting better. And this is a tall order. So the legacy part of it has the benefit of the nutrition and feeding a bunch of people, but it also has the history of having to support a community that doesn't understand the business. When I first came out with a vegan restaurant, they didn't know what vegan meant. What's vegan?
Vegan wasn't even a word.
Right. Vegan, yeah. And so in addition to that, the just the feeding people, but having to deal with the psychological pathology, the mental pathology that is ever present in our community with regard to why we're so sick and what it is that we need to do in order to overcome our health challenges. And a big deal for me is, why are we continuing to depend on institutions that don't mean us any good? You know, that have never
I want to insert just a little bit. I want to rewind a little bit because you said a lot, it's a lot to unpack. You're talking about food system, how people eat, and you're connecting it to loving self, but also you're connecting to a psychology of us. And we know, as people have been saying, we've been placed in, especially recent history, of white supremacy, racism, domination. But you go into food and you're taking that almost as like a weaponry against it, a resistance that can affect our consciousness. I guess that's what I'm hearing. and also love and self. Can you speak to that? Because that's very powerful what you're talking. You're talking about a formula of freedom. Go ahead, Dr. Baruch. That's very powerful.
Right. So what we have is food has been used as a weapon in our community. You know, we see that, you know, ever since we've been here, that food has been used as a weapon ever since they've been here, I should say, restate. Mm-hmm. That it has been used as a weapon. And we wake up today and we see that the United States of America is the sickest developed country in the world, and we are the sickest people inside the sickest developed country
That's
in
right.
the world. And it isn't by mistake, but by design. This is again biological warfare.
That's right.
And we are being targeted for elimination. And they use everything from the food that we eat, the advertisements that are put in our community. You know, the ingredients are different sometimes in the foods that we eat as compared to the same foods that are being served in other communities.
Sure.
No different than when we look at the fruit in our community, or the produce in our community looks a little different than the produce
That's
in
right.
somebody else's community. Well, the ingredients can also be separated. That we know that there's certain ingredients that are okay to be consumed because we're not necessarily ingredient label readers.
Yeah. Yeah.
And whereas other communities are, we'll just, if it tastes good, if it's within our budget, if it's convenient, you know, it's sufficient. We'll eat it. You know, nobody else is dying. And then we have this disconnect that we mm-hmm. believe that when we expire or when we die, it was already pre-programmed for that to happen, and that we had nothing to do with how long we live on the planet, mm-hmm. which is a major threat to wanting to do anything. You know, it completely cripples us from being desirous or feeling empowered to do anything about our quality of life or our length of life.
You know, as you speak, and one thing, and folks, that y'all listen to, again, you've joined the Revolution of Black Love podcast, special guest, Dr. Baruch. Dr. Baruch, you mentioned that the ingredients, how we do not pay attention to ingredients, the importance of it. And you know, as you're speaking to it, you made me think of some of our legends. To me, you come from a lineage, and these are ones that now ancestors like Baba Dick Gregory, Dr. Leda Africa, who specifically Dr. Sebi, who were going into this and trying to bring us this knowledge. Can you speak to, as you're talking, you on this lineage, you on this direct lineage, the importance of us teaching one another and teaching generations to come this knowledge that we need in order to live?
Yeah. Well, it's not only important that we teach, but it's also mm-hmm. important that we serve.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
so
right.
we do both of those, and that we're
okay.
providing the education to support the ingredients, you know, to mm-hmm. support the menu. So it's not just, okay, we have the foods that we have, but we have the foods that we have, and we have a reason for it. You know,
okay.
and some people will say, well, you still doing this with food, and you still don't. Well, that's because I still have to attract people. If I took all of our food and took it up to the level that I consume food at, I wouldn't be able to attract the people that are just coming out of the fast food joints that are destroying
right.
our health. I wouldn't
right.
be able to attract them because I'd be too far down the road.
That's
you know,
right.
so it's very important that we understand our responsibility in this. Yeah, somebody's doing it to us. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's actually our hand that normally puts the food in our mouth. So, yeah, it might be that the advertisement, and it might be what's being made available to us, isn't the healthiest thing. But at the still, the last point of refusal where we could say, no, I'm not going to do it, is
right.
in our hands. We could stop it.
Okay, woo, all right now. Y'all, and I'm serious, when you go to the restaurant, the food, I was surprised, Dr. Ruben, recently said, your restaurant, it's food for the soul yeah. food. I was surprised at the range of customers that come to the restaurant, all ages. But I was really surprised to see the older generation in there. Like, the ones that I knew grew up on, like, chitlins and
well.
Ham hocks, and they, after church, they was in there getting the food in line.
Yes. Well, understand this. As you get older,
uh-huh.
your body begins to let you know you're getting older.
Okay.
And, you know, I don't know of anybody who wants to check out or leave the planet.
Right.
So we start paying attention to what we're putting in our mouth, and we're more concerned about not necessarily the taste of the food, but the nutritional value of the food.
That's right.
So yeah, we've got several categories of people that come in.
I was so impressed by that. I was like, wow, mm-hmm. if you get that generation, you done did something to me.
Mm-hmm.
And they were doing their church clothes. And they was not near where Eli restaurant, and they drove there after church to get some food.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so that's powerful. That to change someone's way of thinking. I think I forget which one the Bible say, but if you could change the way someone eats, you could change. They change the way they think.
Right.
You know, so that was just very powerful. Also, I wanted to mention one of the things I noticed when you speak to your customers is sometimes they complain about the prices. And you take the time. You're not just a restaurant entrepreneur. You take the time to educate them about the current costs and tariffs and all that. Can you speak to that, the importance of us knowing that?
Yeah, well, I would like to see us as the lowest cost plant-based food in the D.C. metropolitan area. When you think about the quantity of food and the workmanship that goes into producing our food is probably the least expensive.
However,
but when you compare it, like, okay, I can get this meal of rice and beans with a little bit of salsa on top, and that's only $7. Well, the workmanship that goes into making some rice and beans and some salsa on the top, it doesn't compare to what it is that we do that starts at 5 o'clock every morning in that kitchen when we're producing this food that's going to feed our people, that's going to carry us into this, you know, into this future. So it is expensive, comparatively speaking, to food that is not beneficial to you, because that's not even food in the first place.
Right.
But for those that are in the healthy food space, and for those of us who are consumers of healthy food, you already know that it's going to cost you more.
Yes.
And that's because it costs us more. Now, on top of it costing us more, now we've got the tariffs. Now we've got, you know, any number of other reasons why our distributors want to just come up and raise their prices. They do. And what we do as a business is we work to buffer that. So I will do the work outside of the restaurant. People oftentimes ask me, well, you know, you're not in the restaurant as much. That's because I have to work to keep our prices down.
Right.
If I'm not out doing other things to help keep our prices down, then we'll have to take our prices up and meet the real cost of running a restaurant like this. But because our restaurant isn't necessarily a business as much so as it is a community center, a community help center. We are focused on really helping people, and we realize in order for us to do so, we've got to reduce the barriers to better health. And one of the most significant barriers to better health is the cost of the food that we consume or we're supposed to consume.
As you speak, I want to, because I remember I attended during Kwanzaa last year, a lecture at UJAMA. School, one of the oldest school y'all in D.C., Black institution. We'll give a shout out to them, educating Black children in African culture. But you spoke, and it was interesting. They had you as, you know, healthy eating, plant-based, but you spoke about the economy, and you talked about money. And so one of the things that comes out, you talk, and the customers complaining about costs and how you said you can't be in the restaurant every day. You got to make sure about distribution and prices. Can you speak to our lack of overstanding of how money and costs work, and just the economic landscape that we're in.
Right. Yeah, that's a big deal. And we're watching. You know, we've been in the D.C. You know, you call D.C. the chocolate city. I remember when D.C. was really the chocolate city. But we've watched this thing transition and transform and evolve into what it is today. And We've watched folks from south of the border come up here and live a certain way so that they could pass us.
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, we were living a certain way so that we wouldn't go forward. And a lot of that has to do with my need to I need to have a car, and I need to have my own house, and I need to live in a house by myself, even though it's got 4 bedrooms in it. I'm going to be in there by myself with my car that has a house in it for it to call it a garage. And we got this expensive cost of living that we have here in the D.C. metropolitan area that we've been working to afford, and we're not being strategically intelligent and coming together as a community so that we can stretch our dollars. You know, most of the times we work in two jobs anyway, so when we get home, we're only Well, they're using the house for a place to sleep. And then the alarm rings and we're off to our, you know, our first job at the beginning of the day. Well, if we had taken a page out of our own book, which is how we used to live, right? But if we had taken a page out of the book that our great-great-grandparents and so on lived, we would be much further ahead. But our money doesn't go that far, because I've got my own car, I've got my own house, I've got my own Wi-Fi, I've got my own electric, gas, and water. I've got my own cable bill, and all of that is within, you know, we're all in the same community, but we're doing this individually. We get upset when we see other communities of people, and they're living, you know, on top of one another, what it looks like, but then in a couple of years, they're buying houses in our community, and they're moving us out.
You're talking about the days when we was a village. Describing a village, looking out for one another, taking care of each other. And you talk about other communities. We were talking about how you went to a Latina church, which blew my mind. Give us the experience. You went to the Latina church.
I went to the church, and the pastor said, you know, he said, you all know, you know, those of us who are here, members of the church, and those of us who come from South America or so on, he said, you all know we do not take government assistance.
Wow.
If we're going to get
nobody in there took government assistance. Wow.
And I said, wow. And that's, again, when you don't use that as a crutch, and you're not, I guess, anticipating and expecting that to be there for you, then, yeah, you're building your own community. You're building your families. You're building your businesses. And, you know, they support their own business. If a Latino individual opens up a business, well, they support him. And they support him, you know, they in their thick. Man, it's tight. They got to stand outside and wait for folks to leave so they can get in. That's the kind of support that they give one another.
That's the
kind of support that we don't give. And I would use another example in hiring them. So when I hire, you know, my people, they got to pay that car note, house note, insurance, and all the rest of that on their own. When I hire one of our folk from south of the border, well, they live in 15, 20 to a house. That debt burden, their cost of living is so much less than my people's cost of living. So it changes one, they're more available to work. You know, they can work at a lower cost. Because if I had to just pay my people and I had to pay them what they're demanding that I pay them, which I understand they need it, because that's the only way they're going to be able to live.
Then
I would have to make my food. I would probably have to double the cost of my food. So in order to keep my food costs down, I have to hire people that allow me to stay within a certain budget range. And our people I can't hire them at those levels, many of them.
You know, as you're talking about hiring different groups in the Latin community, it's interesting because what you're talking about, in this country, they say your rent, your housing bill is 70% of your income on average. You're talking about when you have all folks, a group like the Latinas, 10, 15 living to a house, their house rent may be 20%. So this is what you're talking about, why you're able to hire them and they not stressed about having to pay this big mortgage or big rent. Whereas if you are part of a group where you're 70%, you live, like you said, live in the house, four bedrooms, only you in there, you're going to put that pressure on that business owner, which they can't handle. Then you're talking about terrorists. But also what you go to, Dr. Ruben, something deeper, is that with us in the African-American community, how disunity it has cost us. This is deep. I mean, it has literally cost us in money, economics.
Yeah, legacy wealth. We have really stolen from the next generation because we didn't do the work that we should have done resources circulating in our community and building up our community.
Come on, say it again.
We have sold them out for this this individualism that we now desire. Everybody's an individual.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And again, I think it's pathological. We're literally destroying our future, and we're very selfish. Because of what we need to have for ourselves, rather than understanding that everything that we do should really be about the future, should really be about those babies.
Well, you know what? I believe that's why our youth are so generous, and they're so upset and they're angry because when they look, it's like, what have you left us?
Right.
What have you? What do we have? Like you just said, we have already stolen the wealth. What are we leaving behind for them?
Right.
You know, a car and a house ain't enough. Especially if you don't own it.
Right.
You would you leave? Are you leaving money? You don't spend all your money. You spent on frivolous things. They're not inheriting. That's what you're talking about.
Right.
They're not inheriting anything for their future.
Right. Yeah. Mm.
Mm. Y'all, we in trouble. We got been in trouble.
Yeah, we definitely have work to do.
Wow, woo, woo, woo! I told you we were gonna burn the walls down today. Wow, you went in. This is very serious because you're talking about, and when we talk about reparations, we owe reparations. This is what we're saying. We owe reparations. But what about being reparations to each other?
Right.
See, you're going to, like you said, the pathological, psychological. Wow. In one of your talks, you mentioned that one of the most significant health challenges for Black people after the sin is low self-worth.
It's a mental illness. And that's why we make the choices that we do. That's why we choose the poor food, the poor quality food, the inexpensive food, that which doesn't even qualify as food. We choose that to consume. We consume things that we know destroy us, and yet still we consume them and find pleasure in consuming them. You know, and it's very destructive. And it's like that with our music across the board. Everything that we consume, whether it's music, whether it's food, whether it's our friends, whether it's the environment, all of that, we're consuming that and it's destroying us. And we find it, you know, we have a way of embracing it in such a fashion that we kind of make it, that's our stuff. You know, that's how we roll. This is our piece. This is our culture. And it's a culture of self-destruction.
Ooh. Say it again. A culture of self-destruction.
Yeah.
Ooh. And sometimes you don't know what you don't know. You think you know. You don't know. What you're describing. You're talking about people that's living dead.
Right. And you're talking about a perspective. So everybody's perspective is different. Mm. So whereas I might see that there's a culture of self-destruction, they might, you know, they're living in a different vibrational frequency with a different understanding. And they can't see and understand and interpret what it is that I'm saying. They don't get it. They don't get it. And when you don't get it, you find yourself engaging in that which destroys you with a smile on your face. You're happy as a lark. And you're destroying yourself, not knowing, you know, what you're doing. And you're paying somebody to do it. So we pay these institutions to bring us toxic food that we would consume, that we like, that's got all kinds of names that we like. You know, so we consume that, and it destroys our health. And then we have the audacity to cry when, you know, when Big Mama or whoever it is that's been eating all that stuff for all their lives, expires. And they should expire. There was a time when we used to get old and die. And I we don't get old and die.
It's too many premature deaths. Say it, Dr. Baruch, too many premature deaths.
Yeah. We get sick and die now.
You know, you talk about it's our perspective. You know, in the latest Spike Lee joint, The Highest of Lows, everybody go see a movie. Spike Lee always educating us. I don't know if you've seen it, but you got Denzel Washington there, music mogul, and you have, what's the little guy named? The rapper. But Denzel Washington is heading up this music industry, this music empire, and he done kind of like lost his vision, right? He got to get back to his roots. And it's his young brother, the rapper, who is, wanted to sell him his music. He wanted to go on his label. And towards the movie, I know I'm doing a little spoiler alert, but it's perspective. And what he's wanting to give him in music, it's up to certain. I don't want that no more. You see, but the young brother see the music as, this is it. This is what's coming. He's like, that's not for the soul and the spirit. So when you talk about perspective, that's almost like you're talking about almost being out of such a reality.
Right. Right. We've been a diet. We have a diet of self-destruction. Understand that we've cultivated a diet of self-destruction.
Wow.
Our relationships, our music, our, you know, across the board, our entertainment, of course, our food, it's all in that space. And we don't see that this is being done maliciously against us. We all see that it's done systemically against us because we just don't believe, which is a really difficult word in our community, our belief systems, but we just don't believe that somebody would spend all of their time, effort, and energy trying to cut us off. And yet they would. Yet they would. And it's real. And we don't have to wonder. We don't have to. This isn't about conspiracy theorists.
That's right.
This is, we got the evidence.
We have the evidence.
I grew up in Southeast Washington, D.C. when they crack cocaine and they dropped them AK-47s. Why are little boys walking around with AK-47s and 9mm guns in the community? Where they get that from? Where they get crack from? Where they get all of this? You know, this was being done maliciously to cut a people off. And then the culture was being supported by the music industry. So the music industry was cultivating a mindset of self-destruction and how that was heralded as a good thing. I got a teardrop on my eye, so that means I took somebody out. And, you know, that was a good thing. That was something that, you know, as a badge of honor. The things that we do today, both men and women, the things that we do today were things that we would consider shameful. When I was a child, it would be shameful to do the things that we brag and boast about doing today.
We weren't there involved. Our audience. We got Dr. Baruch on, founder, owner of E-Life Restaurant, 30 years. You know, we're going to take this a little quick break as we begin to wrap up. But one of the things we're going to talk about is we get back. Dr. Rupp is talking about this diet of self-destruction, this culture of self-destruction that we are infusing within our mind, body, and spirit through various genres as we listen to Dr. Rupp. We're going to talk about what are some things that he feel that we could begin to change our diet, what type of thing we should begin to take in mentally, spiritually, physically to begin to change it. And if we don't see the people we need, we can raise up a new generation. Some of us are just too far gone. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to take a quick musical intermission, and we're going to come back. Wow, powerful, powerful. All right, y'all, just a few seconds, and then we're going to be back with Dr. Baruch. This is the Revolution Black Love Podcast. Welcome back. Thank you. That was our beloved Erykah Badu, soldier, and Dr. Rupp, that sound like you. He's an organizer. So y'all be looking for soldiers, okay? Because if y'all ain't know spiritual warfare going on, we definitely at war. But as we hit just a powerful Dr. Rupp is just dropping it, we're going to begin to fade out as we begin to close it out. But one of the things we're going to talk about, we always talk about towards the end, is recommendations. The solutions, because we know we have people listening across the diaspora. Well, Dr. Rupp, what should we be feeding? What diet should we be taking in mentally, spiritually, emotionally, physically? What should we be taking in to begin to dispel, eliminate this culture of self-destruction? Dr. Rupp, as we ask that, as you speak to our diaspora audience, what should be our diet physically, mentally, emotionally? What should we be taking in to feed our children? Dr. Rupp.
Right. Great. I think it starts with education, and I think the education starts in the home. So we have to feed our children the reality that they are kings and queens. They are princes and princesses.
Say it again.
Ooh. And when you do that, you instill within them an expectation that, okay, no, that's unacceptable. That's unacceptable. I can't do that. No, I won't be seen having that. Or I can't consume that, because it's unacceptable for a king or a queen to consume many of the things that we found to be just, you know, routine in our community. And I think so. It starts at home with the education. Then it has to be, you know, fortified and supported in the educational institutions, otherwise known as schools and the school rooms with the teachers. So if the teachers are not on board, then we need to create our own institution.
That's right.
You know, and on top of that, we need to, as adults, we got to recognize one another as kings and queens. We have to reinforce this. You know, we have to be the ones that make each other feel like kings and queens. Because when you call a brother a king, you call a sister a queen, it evokes a certain positive and empowering energy
That's right.
And it makes them act differently when you call
them. And it's a certain vibration that's going through that language, right? You're talking about a vibration.
Absolutely. So we have to do that, and we have to not be dependent upon a system that has never done right by us. We can't continue to be dependent upon a system to make this right, which they are working so vehemently, aggressively to make it wrong and to keep it wrong. So we can't, it's no longer, it's time out for saying y'all are doing this and blaming and blaming and blaming. No, it's time to look in the mirror and realize that we got the power to change this.
Yes.
And with regard to our beliefs, I think it's really important that we not fall victim to believing that somebody that's not on this planet is going to fix our problems. Again, we look at what our Latino brothers and sisters have done. They've come up right around us because they worked to come around us.
Right.
You know, you see other communities of people coming up, they're raising up and coming right by us as we sit here believing and waiting and hoping that things get better. No, we have to make them better. And how we make them better is, again, how we engage the institutions, the businesses in our community. And I'm not saying that every black business is worthy of our dollar. But what I am saying is every business that benefits our community is worthy of our dollar. Because that's what we need. We need businesses that benefit us, that do right by us, that love us, that care about us, that go that extra mile to see to it that we all right. You know, and I think that's going to be a big difference maker. When we support the businesses that support us, we make a difference in that next generation, because our children are going to be the ones that work at those businesses and keep those businesses and do business with those businesses. And if we as a community supported the positive businesses in our community, the beneficial businesses in our community, we would not have any unemployment. And when you don't have unemployment, you don't have a need to do some of the things that we're doing out here on these streets in order to come up with some money. So it changes the whole landscape when we support the institutions that have the capacity to support and change the direction that we're going in.
That's like a book. That's a beginning of a book. Right. Wow. Yo, we're going to go. We got to recap. You just dropped some powerful things. Folks, some of the things Dr. Baruch just said, we've been saying, his suggestions, things we do. One of the things we know is unity costs. We've got to be strategically intelligent. But just now, one of the things he said, one of the main things that starts in the home, we've got to educate our children that they are kings and queens. And the schools, if they're not going to do it, we teach our own. Y'all want to close down the schools? Close them down. We need to teach our own anyway. They're trying to erase it anyway. Another thing he said, that adults need to reinforce that. We need to say that to each other, you kings and queens. We need to reinforce that. We need to believe what we're saying. We need to believe in our businesses. We can strike down unemployment. We support our businesses. These are some of the things that we can be doing. Wow. I'm not even ready to go, but I know we got to go. Dr. Baruch, any final messages to the diaspora audiences? We were so honored to have you on today.
I'm very thankful to have the opportunity to share with you something that I've been doing for the last 30 years.
Wow.
And providing our community with not only the nutrition, but also the culture and the history and the spirit and energy of the work that we do there in the restaurant. I'm very thankful that you would have me come on, and I'm very thankful for the opportunity to serve our community. We are Life Restaurant. We are located at 9033 Central Avenue in Capitol Heights, Maryland. We would love to have your event and activity there. We would also love for you to choose us as a place where you would come and get nourishment, where you know that the people in the kitchen are really concerned about the consumer, as opposed to the businesses now. They're only concerned about the price, the taste, and whether they can get you to come back. And that's not our motivation. Our motivation is we want to get people better. So again, I'm thankful. I'm honored. I look forward to seeing you again and working with you and continuing to build with you, my sister.
Yes. Y'all, we just had the pleasure and honor listening to Living Legend, Dr. Baruch. Y'all must support. Y'all come to DMV, and our people that come across the diaspora, you were to make a stop. I don't care. As soon as you go off the plane, you were to go to E-Life Restaurant. E-Life Maryland, give them your money. We want several locations at E-Life Restaurant across the DMV, the East Coast, because we're going to need it. Dr. Baruch, he done did his 30. It's time for the legacy to continue, and that is our responsibility. I want to thank y'all for joining us. Thank you for allowing, giving me grace, y'all, unconditional love. I'm not as on point because of the recent transition. And my mom, if you see any cracks, please extend me grace. But I had some lions on with me today. Dr. Baruch, definitely a lion in the jungle and lion in training. Our brother Richard, who owns Ham Radio, we appreciate you. Y'all, we're going to go out with Soldier by Erykah Badu. Peace and blessings, Black love, and Black power.
Sony.